remember you well in the Chelsea Hotel. You were talking so brave and so sweet, giving me head on the unmade bed while the limousines wait in the street. Those were the reasons, that was New York. We were running for the money and the flesh, and that was called love. For the workers in song, probably still is for those of them left. Yeah, but you got away, didn't you, babe? You just turn your back on the crowd. You got away, I never once heard you say, I need you, I don't need you. I need you, I don't need you. And all of them jiving around.
Welcome back. Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690, along with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, until 6 o'clock, Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch in its entirety between 6 and 7. Then Noel Butler is here with Oranges at halftime. Pierre Maguire, more on the Canadiens' impressive win over the Kings last night. It's one of the songs that Leonard Cohen actually expressed regret that he was as graphic as he was describing an encounter with Janis Joplin at the Chelsea Hotel. It is a pleasure to welcome to the show, first time in this studio. He joined us on Green Avenue. I mentioned most of you would know him as Johnny Upton from Slapshot. He is a Montreal actor, musician, writer, director, producer, professor. Alan Nichols is back home. How you doing?
I'm doing very well.
When you a little
sad.
But, yeah, but, when you hear that, what do you think?
Well, I think immediately of the piece we did, which was I Am a Hotel. And that piece was part of it. And it was, it was 1983. We filmed it at the King Edward Hotel in Toronto.
Okay, so hold on.
So sorry. I should go back. Yeah.
Yeah. How did you get to thinking of, right? Of course.
Yeah.
So how did you and Leonard hook up specifically for what was, like a 25-minute short, right?
Yeah, it was like an art piece that was developed by some creative people, Barry Wexler, and I can't remember the other person's name. But it's been a while. But I had met Leonard when we were filming a wedding in Chicago. He showed up one day to visit Bob because he was in the area.
Altman.
Yeah, I just figure everybody knows. I forget. And anyways, Leonard surprises.
There are people who don't know you right now who are wondering, who is this cat who's dropping like Bob? But he was actually friends. They were friends. He worked in several of his movies,
yes,
and notably Nashville. But anyway, just
yes,
for some background info.
And so Leonard dropped into the set of a wedding, and we were introduced, and he watched some dailies, and we chit-chatted and talked a bit about Montreal. And then I saw him again a couple other times, and then I hadn't seen him in a while. Now, Leonard and Altman met when Altman used his music in McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Oh, with Julie Christie and Warren Beatty.
Yes. So that's where that connection came. Then cut to some 6 years later, we're filming a film, we're in pre-production for a film called Osi and Stigs, and we're in Phoenix, Arizona. And Bob has one of those ooh moments, and he goes, you know, I'm supposed to go to Toronto and direct this short film for Leonard, but I can't do it. Alan, you go. Okay.
Had you directed anything by then?
I'd done a little bit of directing, second unit directing, and directing commercials that were used in certain of Altman's films. I'd done that part of it, but I'd never directed a solo piece by myself. So I show up to Toronto, and I meet the producers, which Moses Neimer was the main producer, and I met the writer, and I met... And they all said, yeah, well, Leonard's going to love this. But he was counting on Altman. And I'm going, this doesn't feel right. But I'm meeting everybody. And,
yeah.
and we're putting it together, and I'm coming up with storyboards and shot lists and ideas. And they said, Leonard's going to be in town tomorrow. So he showed up, and he walked in, and he said, oh, Alan, how are you? And we reconnoitered, and he said, so where's Bob? You know? And I said, well, the good news is I'm here. The bad news is Bob can't come. And he wanted me to take over and do the gig. And Leonard kind of said, let me absorb that a minute. He was very, you know, he's always serious about his work. And I, quite honestly, I don't think he was so convinced about doing this piece. He'd never done a video before, and it was video. And what it was a collection of a number of his songs that was put together in this kind of tone poem. And he, you know, it was just a script, and they imagined it. And I'd done a lot of... I did my homework, and I figured out a way to do it that I thought was kind of cool. And he said, let me, and he said, why don't we go talk about it? Basically, he was saying, I don't really think I want to do this.
Well, especially without Altman around.
Without Altman around, and unless you convince me. So we went out that night in the King Edward Hotel, and we sat in the bar. And about a bottle and a half of Calvados later, and two very, very strong cigars, he was convinced that I kind of knew what I was doing. And he said, yeah, let's do it. And he was so terrific. I mean, we ended up, I don't know if you know his friend Hazel.
No.
She was a photographer of his that was always around. And we just had a blast during the whole shoot. And
so everything was actually filmed in the hotel.
We filmed it all in the hotel.
Tola Cranston was in this, right?
Tola Cranston, Anne Ditchburn, and I mean, it was, I cast all these dancers, and it was kind of like a ballet, and Robert DeRosier and his partner Claudia Moore were in it. It's really kind of, it was edgy for that time, and I look at it now, and it looks very period.
Right.
But at the time, it was very,
it's kind of neat that it's out there. So yeah. What did he think of it, and where was it supposed to air?
Well, it was put out there, I think, for the CBC Arts Channel. There was a new Arts Channel at the time, and that's where it was supposed to go. And I think it was aired. And then, lo and behold, it won the Best Show Award at the Midem Festival. We won the Golden Rose.
The Golden Rose?
Yes.
You still have the Golden Rose?
No. Why wasn't at the festival? Some executive from CBC accepted it on my behalf. But it was really quite an experience. And working with him was fabulous because I saw another side of him that no one has ever seen. I mean, to be crass, there is a picture of us mooning Hazel. She took the photo.
Oh, there's, okay, it's not,
it exists.
Okay, but it's not exactly floating around like his music.
No.
Or anything. Yeah,
but it was like,
what is it with you actors? Brando was doing that during the filming of The Godfather.
We wanted to do something silly one, and he's actually in, there's a piece that he appears in the video, which he never wanted to do. And I ended up talking him into appearing in about four different songs. There's one where he's skipping in the background and dancing, and there's another one where he's singing like he's fronting a band, like a lead singer, like a crooner. And there's
right.
And then he does Suzanne in this apartment
right.
scene. And I'm kind of proud of that piece. And I'm more just the fact that we spent this 2 weeks together. And he was really a part of it. He
was hands-on.
Yeah, and he was so kind of, you know, he's the coolest guy in the room.
Yeah.
You know, he is the coolest guy in the room.
And he was, right,
and
to
was,
the end, right?
That's it.
He was.
Know?
Alan Nichols with us, actor, director, hockey fanatic.
Dishwasher.
Right? And are you still teaching acting?
I've been teaching film and directing okay. film and screenwriting. And
in Burlington?
Since I last saw you, I did a stint in Singapore at NYU School of the Arts. I was over there for a year teaching writing the feature. And then I just got back last year from a year and a half in Abu Dhabi, where I was artistic director of the New York Film Academy.
All right. And you sent me some photos on the Canadiens playoff run, right? And what was the time difference there?
I was watching them at breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your grandfather or great-grandfather played for the Maroons?
Grandfather played for the Montreal Wanderers and is, in fact, in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
And who is that?
Riley Hearn.
Riley Hearn.
Yeah, he won the Stanley Cup in 1908, 1909, and 1911.
The dynasty long before.
Yeah.
So for those of you who may be headed to induction ceremonies on Monday, try to find Riley Hearn.
Yeah, go in the hall. He's there. I've taken my son there and got his picture right next to him. And his name will always be on the Stanley Cup because it's in the cup portion
right
on the inside.
Yeah, they have to.
They can't lift those off.
Can't continue to make the cup bigger and bigger and bigger. Alan Nichols, just hang in there for a couple of minutes. We're going to come back with promoter and friend of Leonard Cohen's, Reuben Fogel, in just a moment on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
I cannot follow you, my love. You cannot follow me. I am the distance you put between all of the moment that we will be. You know who I am. You've stared at the sun. Well, I am the one who loves changing from nothing to one.
Between you and Jacob Dylan, there's this ridiculously long shadow, and I wonder at what point you stop trying to run away from it and just embrace it.
Well, I'm certainly not running away from it. I'm doing my very best to celebrate my dad now. He's going to be 77 on Wednesday, and I have never been as conscious of what a beautiful guy and I would go as far as to say a historical figure he is, and I want to be in the business of celebrating him now.
You've stared at the sun. Well, I am the one who loves changing.
So there you have it. About 5 years ago on the show, Adam Cohen. Welcome back. Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, special in-studio guest, musician from JB and the Playboys back in the day, and actor and the man who directed Leonard Cohen's I Am a Hotel, Alan Nichols. A pleasure to welcome back to the show as well. Longtime Montreal music promoter, friend of the Cohen family as well. Reuben Fogel. Reuben, how you doing today?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Where are you?
I'm actually coming back from Toronto. I just finished 3 days in Ontario, finishing last night at Massey Hall with Lorena McKennitt.
Okay.
And strangely, I was given the news about Leonard's passing by Lorena's tour manager at intermission.
Do you know when you first heard Leonard Cohen sing a song?
When I first heard him sing a song?
Yeah.
I guess it would have been in the early 70s.
And what did you think? Honestly, Reuben, what'd you think?
I honestly thought his music was unbelievable, and everybody was sort of thinking, wow, what a unique voice. But don't forget, at the same time, we were also listening to Bob Dylan, so the parallel was definitely, you know, considered at that point.
Did you promote any of Leonard's shows?
Never. It was actually Donald that promoted most of his shows in and around Montreal. And I was introduced to Leonard professionally in 2006 when I was asked to help out promote his friend Angenie's showcase in Montreal at the Cabaret.
Angenie
and
Thomas.
And we ended up spending the entire day together. It happened to fall on a Friday night. He celebrated the Jewish Sabbath backstage with candles and bagels and wine. And it segues to about a year and a half, 2 years later, when he did decide that he was going to go on the road, and there was a tour promoter who was handling him worldwide, Leonard decided that he would consider going out, but they needed to convince him to tour the world. He wanted to test out the experience of going back on the road after 16 years, wanted to do it off the radar, and selected Atlantic Canada to play for a month of dates before he would actually decide whether or not he wanted to tour. And I got the phone call. Leonard thought that it would be a good idea for me to be involved in helping out in the East Coast. And it was one of the most blessed phone calls that I ever received in my life. I mean, I spent a month in May, from the beginning of May, in Fredericton, New Brunswick. We did 3 nights in St. John's and 5 nights in Halifax, and finished off in Kitchener, Ontario. And if I had to do it all over again, I would do it for nothing. It was the experience of my life.
That was the tour that eventually led to him returning to Montreal, the Jazz Fest at Place des Arts. Is that the one?
That's correct. Yeah. He actually went, they ended up doing a date in Ireland. And the entire entourage of 35 people actually flew back to play those 3 nights at Place des Arts. Leonard had made a commitment to Andre Menard that he would play the Jazz Fest for him. And they actually did those dates, came back, and then returned to Europe. And that was a time when he produced his first live DVD at London. Yeah.
And in addition to Anjanie Thomas, you also, did you not promote the Webb Sisters, who were just incredible as his backup singers for the last several tours that he did?
Yeah, after the first leg of the tour and, you know, the whole troupe was basically on hiatus, they had put out their own album, which they had delayed because they were given the opportunity to tour with Leonard. And they did come back, and they played Montreal at Club Soda, and they played in Ottawa also.
With Ruben Fogel. Have you ever met Alan Nichols? Have you guys ever met?
I'm trying.
I don't think so.
I don't think we have. I think
it's bizarre that you haven't met.
It is. I mean, I know your name, Ruben.
I certainly know yours. Pleased to meet you.
Well, it's pretty, very nice to meet you. Yeah. Okay.
Have you seen? Did you ever see Leonard live, Ellen?
No. I mean, we've jammed.
Well, that's better.
In Bob's apartment.
Bob Altman. Yeah. Ruben, by the way, Bob Altman, not Dylan.
Yes, I know. I actually was listening to it on iHeart.
Oh, there you go. How about that, Ruben?
There's a plug for you.
So it works.
Must be a shareholder. Okay, to wrap this up before we get to Pierre McGuire, each of you, Alan, what does Leonard Cohen and the music of Leonard Cohen mean to you?
It means poetry. It's poetry, and it's, you know, I don't want to be corny because I can tend to be corny, but he's left me with a lot of words to think about. When you listen to a Leonard Cohen song, you leave thinking about stuff, and that's good.
Ruben?
There's a word that I don't know is ever used that much for him, which is maybe less deep. He's really, really clever. I mean, he was so clever when he wrote. He was so clever when he spoke. He was clever when he sang. He really had something that nobody else ever had, and I just hope he inspires others in the future. I think he already is.
How many of his shows did you see on that tour that lasted almost 3 years?
Many.
Were you here in Montreal for the Jazz Fest show?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Wasn't that spectacular?
Yeah, that was magnificent. What a wonderful and triumphant return to his hometown. It was moving, and and I know he was intimidated. Sometimes one of the phenomenologies of playing in your own hometown is that you can enlist some swift and unforgiving comments from those you least expected from. And that has happened to him, and unfortunately it's happened to me too. And I think he was sort of apprehensive. So for it to have gone so magnificently, so memorably, was a real delight.
Once again, Adam Cohn with us a few years ago. Ruben, thanks for taking the time this afternoon.
Thank you, and Leonard, rest in peace.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Like a bird on the wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free. Like the worm on a hook, like a knight from some old-fashioned book, I have saved all my ribbons for thee. If I have been unkind, I hope that you can just let it go by.